Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn and the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's for real, baby.
Well, that wasn't supposed to happen. Peace and blessings. It's your girl, Bree, and you have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. And as you know, it is Freestyle Thursdays, and we're going to have a special Freestyle Thursdays because it's going to be Bree Unplugged. I need my people to call in. Call in at the number 424-220-1862. That number again. 424-220-1862. I know that there have been people who have been listening because I've been getting emails. And you can send me an email at BriLifeRadio@gmail.com. That is BriLife Radio, RADIO, at gmail.com. So we are freestyling. Well, I guess we will start with my freestyle today. I have been inboxed quite a bit. One of the things that I want to take the time out to do is to give a happy birthday shout out to my friend John Arrington, who I grew up with on Carroll Street. So happy birthday, John. Peace and blessings to you. All the best. And we're going to go in with the freestyle. And so I've been inboxed quite a bit the last week and a half. Some people have been making some complaints about friends and family members or even in dating situations. It would seem that a lot of people are dating now, but they don't know what kind of label to give it, especially, I mean, is it casual? Are you, you know, once intimacy is put in play, you know, what happens after that? Does it remain casual? Does it become more committed and serious? There are women that have been sending me some interesting emails and also some men. And then, of course, you know, I have an animated host of friends that, you know, we share our dating story. So that's where we are on that. My personal freestyle for dating is that I don't have one right now. I'm going to remain silent on that one tonight, or at least for the first half an hour. So I want to know how many people out there are unemployed. I'm noticing I was doing some research and the statistics are for African American people are one in every four person of color is unemployed. That's 25% of the 1.5 or 1.3 million people in the country are unemployed. What is that all about? My goodness. Well, I want to hear what you have to say. And you can call in. The number is 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. Another thing I thought that I might freestyle about tonight is some interesting conversations that I had about Facebook. Oh, my God, the Facebook antics, of course. Now, Facebook, as we all know, people use it as a medium to reconnect with people that maybe they grew up with, they went to high school with, or to connect with colleagues, people of that nature. And but it would seem, I've seen people on Facebook have as many as 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 friends. I mean, how is that possible? But in any case, they have, even if you have 100 friends, there are some people who are very serious and very sensitive about Facebook. They feel that if a person is their friend on Facebook, that all their friends should be interacting with them regularly. Not just on Facebook, they should be calling them too. But people get very offended when you don't respond to something that they have to say on Facebook. I've talked to 3 or 4 people who are quite sensitive about their Facebook accounts. Wow. I don't really know what to say about that, but it is what it is. So, we are freestyling. The call-in number is 424-220-1862. I want to hear from you. There's a lot that's been going on in the news. Of course, we know about the Trayvon Martin situation. This gentleman has finally been brought in and being charged for this heinous crime. So I know a lot of people may have something to say about that. In addition, I hope that I know, as a matter of fact, there were quite a few people last night who, and I appreciate all the listeners, and we had a very special guest panelist last night, Dr. Hackley, who wrote a book about the Willie Lynch letters. So we want to give a special shout-out to Dr. Hackley this evening and thank him for his participation and his input for our conversation. So, people, I'd love to hear from you. What's been going on? But in the meanwhile, we're going to go to a commercial break, and I'll be back shortly.
If you didn't tune into the Bree Life Radio Show on Wednesday, this is what you missed.
Hey, Mars. Mars, check it out, Mars. If they give it up too easy sometimes, I mean, if vagina was a stock, it would plummet. It would plummet.
Mm.
Because you give it away too easy.
You hear that, ladies? There is a brother on the line that's saying that the ladies are giving it up too easy.
And this?
We want a lot more than sex, too. We want to be loved. We want to be respected. Mm-hmm. We want a whole lot of... That will make the sexual experience that much more enhanced.
We can't forget about this.
Tony, you heard that. You know she's taking the easy way out of this one. You know what I'm saying. Come on, Bree.
Wow. No, listen, I say you have to be honest. You have to be honest with your partner of what the deal breakers are.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
No, we breathing light. We ain't breathing heavy now. Right.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life.
What you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree Life.
How we live in life.
Hey.
Peace and blessings, and we're back. I'm your girl, Bree, and it's the Bree Life Radio Show. We are freestyling, and it's Freestyle Thursday. So tonight, I want to talk about, let's see, what am I freestyling about tonight? What about the labels? The labels that, let's go back to those labels. The labels that we tend to give our friends that become quite confusing when the lines of going from the friend zone into a dating situation. Well, hello, and we're back. We seem to be having some technical difficulties on the air. I know that there are people that are texting me saying that they're calling in, and for some reason they're not able to get through. So now I'm starting to see a stream of callers calling in, so I'm asking that you just bear with us because this is Blog Talk Radio, and I'm not in complete control of the console, so please bear with me. So I'm going to take a call from 434-370. A caller from 443-370. I'm going to be picking you up now. Well, hello. It's Freestyle Thursday.
Hey, Bree. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I didn't forget about you. I just been busy at work on a project.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, they're working a brother.
Well, first of all, identify yourself for the listeners.
Hi, this is Carl from Annapolis, Maryland, the ancient city. How are everybody doing out there?
Everybody is okay. So, how are you recovering from your little accident?
Actually, I'm doing great.
That's good. God is good.
Yeah. You know, so, how's everything going?
Well, things are really. Really great. You know, it's Freestyle Thursdays, and we're freestyling. So tell me what you'd like to talk about tonight. What's been on your mind?
Well,
and your
I think after all the protests, it seemed like Trayvon Martin's finally going to get some justice, you know. It's a shame that, you know, it had to take this long and, you know, it had to be so much protest, you know, for people to do the right thing. But it's finally happening, and I think the charges is adequate. I mean, when you there has to be a rocket science. When you look at the evidence and you listen to the witnesses and you hear the tape, I mean, you don't have to be a true investigator to figure out what happened, you know what I mean, in this guy's state of mind. So at last, you know, it seemed like the brother's going to get some justice, and I'm just happy. I'm just happy because if you have children, that could have been your child.
That's
and it's
right.
A shame his parents had to go through all of this, you know what I mean, just to get justice for their son, just to get just due, you know, for their child. So it just shows the strength of people. When we stand up for something, you know, we get what we want, you know. So
that's right. Well, I think it's justice that is finally coming due, even though the process has really just begun, you know, but at least the process is starting. So, you know, thank God for that. And
you know that parents used to say? Just like our parents used to say, if you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for anything.
Well,
I think people just started falling for everything. And, you know, the reality is, you know, people are standing up more and more for issues rather than just, you know, fall for anything, you know?
Well, I wish some people would stand up for some gasoline prices. And, you know, I heard something in the news and through casual conversations that there were going to be people protesting on April 15th, you know, to boycott, actually, you know, not going to the pump. But, you know, why are we waiting until April 15th? I think if we can organize and protest, you know, on behalf of this senseless murder, you know,
right.
this is something that we should be protesting for too, and we should be doing it at least, you know, we should be committed to doing it at least once a week until something happens.
Well, I just had a discussion with somebody, to be honest with you, just today about that very same issue, and I said, you know, the problem is you have greedy gas station owners who's gouging prices. You have the oil companies just laying back making huge profit because, like I say, nobody's taking a stand. And like you were just saying, you know, if people stand together, you know what I mean, we have the power to drive the prices down, not the president, not anybody else. We have the power because if we just said for a whole week, we're not going to buy any gasoline, or three-quarters of the population say we're not going to buy gasoline, do you know how much trouble there'd be in those refineries? Be bursting open with gasoline. They'd be trying to give it away. But like
right.
I said, nobody's taking a stand on it. So just like I was just saying, we're falling for it again.
Yeah.
I know here in Maryland,
yeah.
I know here in Maryland, within, I'd say, the last few weeks, gas
mm-hmm.
prices have risen like 8 cents a week.
8 cents or 80 cents?
8 cents.
8 cents. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go, the further you go towards the Baltimore area, it's higher. D.C. is higher. Virginia is higher. So,
yeah,
I mean,
ironically enough, all the areas that are concentrated more with people of color.
Yeah.
Isn't that
yeah.
something?
But when you really think about it, they talk about, oh, well, we don't have enough refineries. People don't know a lot of that gasoline isn't refined in the U.S. It comes across the ocean already refined from a lot of these countries. And what the oil companies do is pass the cost on to us because it's cheaper for them than pay Lloyd's of London all those high prices, you know what I mean, for insurance
right.
on those refineries. So it's better to shut the refineries down, you know what I mean? It's good for the ecosystem, number one. That's their excuse, but it's to save a lot of money so their profits are higher.
Right.
You know, so it's just like with anything. If prices go up, the company's not going to eat. They're going to pass it on to the consumer. So I think a lot of what we're seeing now is just price gouging and greedy oil companies. How much is enough? You're making record profit.
How much is enough? It's never enough. It's never enough for them. It's never
That's
enough
it.
For them. I remember in 2005, in September 2005, they saw it coming here in New York, the prices going up, and I had made a conscious decision to move as a result of the gas prices, because when gas went up to $3 here in New York and I was driving about 150 miles round trip to go to work, I realized that, you know, dollars wasn't making sense, and I had to think about going to live somewhere where it was a little more cost-effective.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing the decisions that people are making now. You know, I was reading a report how some town in South Dakota or North Dakota seems to be like one of the optimal places to move and be employed.
Right.
So you've been finding that there's been a migration of people leaving their respective towns and you know, and states and going to more rural states to live because, of course, the cost of living is cheaper, the purchase of a home is cheaper, you know, everything is cheaper. And if if you have a, if you're in a career field that inherently earns a decent wage, you're going to do okay.
Right, right.
And that's what's happening all over the country now.
But it's a sad thing to see and to hear that a lot of people like me work for the government, but the same government you work for, you can't afford to live in that county or that city or that state. I know right here in Maryland, our governor was the mayor of Baltimore. When he was mayor of Baltimore, I mean, he went wild with taxes. I mean, he taxed everything to the max, and then he started this program called piggyback tax, where he was actually double taxing you for the same things he just got finished taxing you for. So that caused people to move out of Baltimore City. Business taxes so high, businesses started moving out of the city. So the city really was suffering because it really had no revenue coming in. Well, lucky for us now he's our governor, and he's doing the same thing, tax, tax, tax. Well, the theory is, how much can you tax people? And if you really want to make life better for citizens so they can feed their families, pay their bills, you know what I mean, they can live, I'm for one tax system. The federal government gives the states money, the states give the municipalities and their jurisdictions money. Why not just pay one flat federal tax and let it dwindle down?
Oh,
you have all.
That's too easy.
I just feel it. We're being overtaxed. But
sure,
you hear everything about the election. Yeah, you hear everything about the election. That's the one issue I haven't heard anybody talk about. High taxes that the states are putting on the citizens. You know what I mean? Nobody's talked about that issue. It's not so much the federal government. It's the states. The states burn you down in so much tax until you can't afford to live in the state, the city, the county that you work for. You have to seek, a place to live otherwise, and then you find yourself commuting 2, 3, 4 hours.
Yeah, because that's what happened to me. I moved to Virginia, but I lived on a rural side of Virginia, and then I was commuting, again, 75 miles one way to work in Ruston.
Wow.
But in fairness, my income made it easier to absorb some of the commuting costs, because not only did you have the gas, you live in Maryland, you may be familiar with that side of Virginia, then you have the toll road that you have to pay a toll on. It's not, of course, nowhere near as expensive as any toll we have here in New York.
Right,
but,
right, for real.
You know, but, you know, there is still a toll. And
Right.
But then, okay, here's what offset the cost of gas and the toll commuting is the income, the cost of living to have a townhouse and you know, you don't, and electricity.
Yeah.
Was cheaper there than here in New York.
Right.
Water was cheaper, everything.
Well, I like to hear.
The only thing that
I found that
was interesting, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. The only thing that I found that was very interesting was groceries. Now, food was almost the same, if not more expensive, in Virginia, especially like for vegetables.
Right.
You pay about 3-4 years ago, you could pay up to like $1.50 for one cucumber.
Right.
Like, what the hell? I mean, if here's rural Virginia where there's nothing but land, nothing but farms and stuff. Why does it cost so much for one cucumber?
Because you know why, Bree?
Why?
What they have done, what the government has done, right? The government pays some farmers not to grow crops, because if you go in a grocery store, right, look at where some of the vegetables, fruit, and other items coming from. A lot of them come from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them come from other countries. And I'm saying, just like you, Virginia, Maryland, that whole area surrounded by farms. I got, just where I live at, I can count 20 farms, large farms. But the government has paid some farmers around the country not to grow crops. Why? Because they want to give these other countries a chance to export, their goods and make money. Well, I also have a problem with trade. If trade can't be balanced, then we don't need to trade with somebody. Don't tell us the excuse, well, we can't compete with U.S. goods. Well, why not? You come here and learn everything from us, and you take it back home. So is it fair? Is it fair to hold us to a certain percentage of export in your country, but you export more in our country, make huge profits, and we don't put any kind of tariff on it? I feel like every country that exports to the U.S., we should put a 25 to 50% tariff on it. Then that way the U.S. is making money too.
Wow.
That's why you got countries like China, Japan, making these huge profits because they export so much in the U.S. and they're making these huge profits, but we're not putting a tariff on everything that they're, you know, sending to our country. But on the flip side of corn, they're limited what the U.S. can sent to their country, you know, as far as goods and everything. So
I
think this election,
they're not insisting that we send goods to them in lieu of the fact that we're so much in debt to them.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we can thank Bush for that. He bought the money from the Chinese to finance two wars, and President Obama, by the way, who takes all the blame for it, you know, because Republicans know when to get amnesia. But they forgot it was George Bush who bought the money from the Chinese to finance two wars. And if you ever been a soldier, you know, if you take a book out of Nazi Germany, take a page out of their book, they try to fight a war on four fronts. That was their demise. Well, in today's society, anybody with any intelligence knows it's hard to finance a war on two fronts. In two countries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, that is very, very costly. A day, you're sending billions of dollars overseas, not just for our troops, but to these countries for their support, their help, which I think was a joke to give Pakistan anything because it's a country you really can't trust.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that shown when they found bin Laden? But these countries need
that
money.
Again?
Huh?
What?
I said, wasn't that proven when they found bin Laden?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, these countries need the resources, you know what I mean? And to a certain point, you know what I mean? The relationship is good, it works, but that's to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just a lot of issues, I think, for this being an election year that you're not hearing about. You know,
well, I think also we have to bear in mind that our brother is trying to get reelected, and
he's going to be reelected.
Unbelievable. Well, yeah, because look, he's really running against a bumbling idiot. So,
look at Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich's problem is he comes from that Ronald Reagan area that everybody hasn't forgotten. Remember Reaganomics?
Mm-hmm.
It made the poor people more poor. It made the middle class pay the taxes for the rich. It made the rich richer.
That's right.
The tax code in America, number one, has to be rewritten before anything can be done. I mean, you get a billionaire, Warren Duckett, who comes out and says, hey, you know, I pay less tax than my secretary, who probably make about $40,000 a year. And then everybody jumps on board like he's an idiot. No. The president's not an idiot. Warren Buffett's not an idiot. The problem they had with President Obama, he's calling them on it. He's got their number. Their old status quo that they used to have, it's exposed now. So you got the Republicans cutting each other's throat, backstabbing each other, just to say, oh, I was the one that got Obama out of office. No, my brother, it's not working like that because what the Republicans have done is expose who they really are and what they really are. If they're willing to backstab each other, how can you believe that they're going to get in office and do the right thing for you?
Mm-hmm. This is true.
So like I said, and you said, we got to stop falling for a lot of things and start making a stand. Gasoline, taxes.
Education.
Better school, everything. We got to start standing up. And just like the Trayvon Martin case, it showed when you stand together as a people how much you can accomplish.
Well, you know, my feeling about the whole political climate and the things that really should be approved in terms of getting laws passed and reform and things of that nature. I mean, first of all, if and I think I mentioned this on our show last night, or maybe in a side conversation with Dr. Hackley, but one of the most strategic things, in my opinion, that President Obama could have achieved was to push and force for this healthcare reform bill to come into play, because when you think about it, the bill is more for us than it is for them, you know. And then if you look at us as a people, you know, we have more health problems and we have less opportunity for care. So the getting health coverage is going to be pivotal for people who are poor. And I mean, you can't expect a country to improve their economic situation when their people are unhealthy. They are 1.3 to 1.5 million people of color that are unemployed in the country today. The unemployment percentage is somewhere around 8.5%, but that's not an actual statistic. It's not an actual ratio. When you look at the numbers, it works out to be something more like 14%.
Right.
Based on what certain economists are saying. So for people of color. So 25% of 1.5 million people, I'm sorry, the 3 million people that are unemployed, I believe 1.5 of them are people of color. So it's just crazy. But you have to have healthy people, so that and you have to have large corporations, the banking corporations, to release the surplus of money. They are banks that have trillions of dollars in their surplus that they're not spending, because they know that this crash that we had in 2008 is not the last crash. There's another one coming. So what these companies are doing is they're saving the surpluses of all their resources instead of reinvesting in their companies, which would create more jobs.
You know why that is, right? Because with banks, financial institutions, it's all about two things: keeping the shareholders happy and rich, and making profit.
Mm-hmm.
You're making profit, and it's sad.
Right,
but
it's,
you know,
always,
I give kudos.
It's always been that way, though. It's always been that way. But here's the problem. The problem is that it's always been that way, but the difference is that because of the crashes, because of the regulations that's been put on the banks when they were bailed out, now what they're doing is they're hoarding the surpluses of resources that they have instead of doing what they normally have done in the past, is reinvest in the company. By reinvesting in your companies, you're creating more jobs.
Well, you know what, the president, and I give him much kudos, and I'll tell you why. He saw something and he acted on it. Now, everybody's saying, well, Obama did this, he did the smart thing. You can't let the auto industry, something that's been around a long time, something that generates a lot of revenues and jobs, just say, okay, well, they messed up, we'll just do it out. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when they bail out the banks, on the flip side of that coin, the banks were supposed to take that money, get themselves back in shape, and start lending to small businesses who are the backbone of this economy. The banks didn't do that.
Right.
The president, as far as health care, the president could have did more, wanted to do more. But you know what? It's hard to get things done when you're always meeting opposition every step of the way. Remember when he first got in office? I think it was like 3 or 4 months when he got in office. The first thing the Republicans say, oh, well, we're not going to give Obama a blank check to do what he wanted to do. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You gave George Bush one, and look what happened to us.
Right.
The point I'm trying to make is you could tell health care was an issue, a strong issue to a lot of people, but mostly to the black people. And you know how you could tell that? from all the opposition you got from the Republicans. Because if it's something benefiting the rich, you have no objections, no objections from them. The president talked about corporate jets. And the Republicans, they came on TV and they tried to make a joke of it. But to somebody who's in business, they know the breaks you get with corporate jets is very huge. You know what I mean? Every corporation has more than one corporate jet.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people knew exactly where he was going with that because they're in an inner circle or they're somewhere in the rim of things to understand when he's talked about corporate jets and the big breaks, the tax breaks they get on them. They knew exactly what it was saying. But when you get John, when you get people like Donald Trump, you know what I mean, that think he's a major power player and everything, in which everybody on this side of the Eastern Seaboard thinks is a total nut. Then you get an insight to how the Republican Party works. Remember, they just came up with a friend of the Republican Party and the Tea Party. Remember Alex?
Yeah.
Okay. When they talked about Alex, nobody ever knew what Alex was, never heard of Alex. Once they start breaking it down, you can see where the Republicans were going behind closed doors and coming up with these little schemes to put issues in place, get laws passed, that nobody ever knew that was going on behind closed doors. So if it happened in the federal government, just think what's going on in the local governments, like the states, the counties, the cities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black people.
We're going to call. I'm going to take a station break, and
okay.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by my brother Alex in Alex in Virginia. Okay.
Oh, so, brother Alex. Okay.
Brother Alex. Yes. So, please hold on.
Green Life Radio is a grassroots radio show offering a voice to everyday people. It is without a doubt that this service is a pleasure for we at Green Life to provide. However, this service comes at a cost. For us to continue to provide this valuable outlet to the community, we need your support. Join us as we raise funds to keep Green Life Radio streaming while we provide assistance to Public School 161 in Brooklyn, New York. 15% of all funds raised will go towards providing school supplies to the students of this necessary and vital educational institution. You can find more information about our fundraiser on the web at greelife.evenbright.com. That's greelife.evenbright.com.
And we are back. You have reached the Green Life Radio Show. It is Freestyle Thursdays. And I'm joined right now with Carl in Maryland, but we're also going to be joined by my very good friend that I refer to as my brother, Alex, in Virginia Beach. What's up, baby? Peace and blessings.
What's going on, Bree? What's good with you?
We freestyling, baby. And we're joined tonight by our good friend, Carl, in Maryland.
Carl,
hey,
in Maryland.
Alex, what's up, buddy?
What's up, brother? How you feeling?
What's up, my neighbor?
Yeah, right. Has Carl called in before?
Yes, actually, he called in maybe a week that you were unable to call. This was the brother that I had mentioned that had a car accident.
Really?
He was in a car accident, but he's doing much better now.
Well, how you feel, brother?
I feel great, bro. Thanks for asking.
All right. Well, I just caught the tail end of the conversation. You guys talking about politics tonight, huh?
Well, we touched on a lot of issues. we freestyling. But what would you like to infuse into our conversation tonight? I mean, we had a great conversation last night, definitely, with Dr. Hackley.
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday was real deep, man. We just was real deep. We was really into that conversation. And it was great. It was a great, great conversation to have, and I look forward to the next two parts that we're going to be doing on this series. What does it mean to be black in America now? So that's going to be great. But what I want to kind of get off my chest tonight, and And this is more for you, Bree. So me and Carl kind of on the same, going to be on the same side with this one. So this is going to be more directed at you.
At me,
and I'm
particularly?
Not
because
you
of my gender.
Your gender. Right.
Oh, we going there. Well, I'm used to playing, you know, ball with the big boys, so, you know, I'm not scared of you.
Okay. Well,
no.
Don't be scared, because I'm going to tell you this.
I'm not scared.
Okay. You ain't scared.
No, she knows. No, she's not scared. She knows where the pants.
Oh,
yeah,
please.
Exactly.
Don't you even. Yeah, don't you start.
She wear the pants and the boxer shorts.
Okay.
But you know my wife Stoney, right?
Bree, yes, very
right?
Well.
So you know this is my second marriage, okay?
Yeah.
In my first marriage, I ran around a lot on my wife. I was a cheater. I was a compulsive cheater. It was terrible. And every time she would catch me, she would always cry, oh, don't do it again. And I would promise I wouldn't do it again. Then I would go out and do it again, and she'll catch me. Oh. She would cry. And then she was, oh, I keep promising her I wouldn't do it. But I finally got serious, okay? And I said, you know what? I'm tired of hurting you. I'm not going to cheat no more. I'm kind of done with this whole cheating thing. And I was serious. But then I ran into this fine midget woman.
What?
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Here we go.
This midget was gorgeous. Okay. So I start cheating with the midget woman. Okay. I'm cheating with the midget.
I know you didn't lower your standards, did you?
Yeah.
You didn't know it.
There we go.
Okay.
So let me tell you what happened. So I'm cheating with the midget. True enough, I get caught because the midget was off the chain. He was real good. So I got sloppy again. I get caught again. Okay, with the midget woman. So my wife starts crying again. Oh, you told me you wasn't going to do it no more. You promised. And I told her, I said, can't you see I'm trying to cut down?
Oh, shit.
Whatever,
yeah,
man.
Oh, Lord. Hey, Bree, your phone's really going to light up now.
Yeah, right. Okay. If you enjoyed that joke, listeners. Please call in to 424-220-1862. As you can tell, on Freestyle Thursdays, it can get quite lively. So, and thank you very much to Alex. That was a good joke.
But the reason why I said for you, Bree, is because here's the question.
Yeah, I ain't a damn midget. What's up with that? And as we know, and if Turtle calls in tonight, she'll tell you, I don't lower my standards. What are we talking about?
What I'm talking about is no matter how many times I cheated on my ex, she wouldn't leave. Why don't y'all leave, man?
Well,
you create a monster.
Well, see, you may be talking to me. You may be directing it to me because of my gender. But you know your sister, okay? And you know your sister don't tolerate the fraggle-nackleness, okay?
Well, you see, but
no,
we're in a,
you get one opportunity, to act outside of yourself, and then I'm out. That was 10 years ago. Now I'm 10 years older, so that means that I'm wiser, but I have less tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even if I think you think that you're thinking about acting up, there'll be no chance for that.
But see, Bree,
so Bree
you
trying to tell me something?
Yeah.
Trying to tell me something, Bree? Huh?
I ain't talking to you, Carl.
Oh, okay. I thought you were sending me a message.
Here we go. But Bree, nothing. I'm just telling you that I can't speak for women, but if there are some women out there who hear the sound of my voice, and I know that there's a few, and I know that there may be one or two that seem to be in these awful relationships that they can't get out of. Or they can get out of them, but their complacency or their lack of self-esteem makes them incapable of getting out. They, you know, I say this, you know, you have to love God first and yourself second, you know, and everybody comes after that. And if you don't put yourself first, if you don't hold a man, this is a big issue that I even see taking place on Facebook. Since you dragged me in the bowels of degradation, I'm going to get down with the get down. So this is my freestyle. This is my freestyle. First of all, how can men respect women when we don't respect ourselves? We don't respect ourselves. And when I say that, I say that to say this. I have some friends on Facebook that are very heterosexual, and they love a fine brown frame, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the pictures that they put up of women on their Facebook page now, okay, look, this is, you know, we living in America, and you have rights under the amendments. But damn, do you have to have pictures of a woman with her ass hanging out? That just seems like, and then you can't blame them, because guess what? That woman allowed that picture to be taken of her, or
that's right,
she took it of herself. There's a lot of pictures that I see of these women wearing the boy shorts and, you know, bras in a bathroom, putting their camera phone up to the mirror and taking a picture of themselves. And then they obviously sent it to somebody, and now it's up on Facebook, or now it's up on YouTube. I mean, you cannot expect a man to respect you when your ass is hanging out.
Well, we respect them.
Okay.
Well, Bree, I can only say this. I can always say this, and what you're saying is true. But let me make a few points. Point number one, you said you had some friends on Facebook that like a pretty brown frame. You had friends on Facebook. I just canceled your page. But what I want to say is,
oh,
you know,
God, I can count on callers. Listen.
The thing I like to say is this, and this is what I told my daughters, and I constantly tell my daughters, the way you carry yourself, the way you dress, the way you talk, if you do it in a respectful and tasteful way, it commands respect for males. I said, now, if you dress, if you carry yourself decent with respect and morals, you know what I mean? Guys will respect you because they see how you dress, and they can tell, okay, look the way she dressed, look how she curved herself, her mannerism. You command respect. But if you out here, everything got to be tight, and you got to be exposed to something, hey, you don't get what it is. I said back in the day when I was coming up, I told them, I said back in the day when I was coming up, that was the birth of rap. I said rap back in the days was rap. I said it talked about the social issues. It talked about the struggle. It talked about growing up in the hood. But you respected women. I said, now you got women half-naked in the videos. You call them everything from a B to an H, and it's acceptable. You call a woman something like on the street, and she knock your lights out.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But it's acceptable because, oh, well, we're in a rap video. Or we're in so-and-so video. He can call me everything under the sun. So now you sold your soul to the devil just to get a little exposure because your self-esteem is so low, you think this makes you somebody and makes you feel like somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And
But it's,
yeah,
but it's a double-edged sword now. It's a double-edged sword because you know what? You got just as many men that does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right.
Okay. Let's pause there. Alex, you wanted to say something?
Well, what I want to say is, because you brought up, how do they expect to get respect when they got their asses hanging out? Actually, we respect them. And we respect them more in the morning. Okay? We got a whole lot of respect.
What, after it's time to go home?
Yeah, we respect them even more. We give what we want and throw them out. You know?
Oh, you're
so,
talking
I
about
mean,
when you're at your house. Okay. Uh-huh.
You mean at my house? Why gotta be
I'm
mom?
Talking
why
about.
Be
I'm not talking about today. I'm saying, you know, in the past when you were single, Alex, please,
uh-huh.
You brought this topic up. Don't mess with me. Okay, but all right, but you know, back to the issue of, you know, why do women stay in bad relationships? Well, men are staying in those bad, dysfunctional relationships too. They're not by themselves. But here's what I say: since you're making it more specific to the type of women that subject themselves to men that clearly don't want to be in a committed relationship because they're not behaving as if they want to be in one. If a man is not treating you in the same manner in the middle of the relationship that he was acting in the beginning of the relationship, when you start seeing things change, you have to be cognizant of the signs. I think women and men, in fairness, because we're talking about women right now, they don't pay attention to the signs because women think more peripherally. And they have the ability to forecast. When we meet men, we're already forecasting. When we're forecasting what it's going to be like to kiss them for the first time, hold their hands, be intimate, what it might look like on our wedding day, what our children might look like.
That's
I
a
mean,
smooth
dude,
way of saying that y'all already
what,
judging us when y'all see us.
Exactly. That's what women do. We forecast. And sometimes we get caught up in the forecast and we need to stay in current events.
Right.
Never mind what the weather going to be like tomorrow. We got to deal with what the climate temperature is today. Pay attention. And I'm speaking from experience because I didn't pay attention.
And that's the problem. That's
well,
the problem.
I'm saying that is a problem for women. We don't pay attention to the signs. Or, some, you know, I'm hearing some really crazy things. I'm hearing women who are accomplished. And I'm not saying, listen, when I just gave those statistics, one in every four African-American person is unemployed. Okay? One out of four. So, but I'm hearing things like women who are extremely accomplished dating some bum guys. I mean, guys that don't have their stuff together, have no plan
ambition
for the future of having their stuff together, and they're accepting these types of men into their lives, you know, and taking care of them. Now, let me be clear. Ain't nothing wrong with taking care of a person that you care about. But fair exchange is no robbery. It should balance out some kind of way because then, you know, I'm going to get the – if people aren't listening carefully, and I'm sure that there are some people who are not listening carefully out there, I'm going to get an email or a text, but Bree, what about when a man takes care of a woman? Nobody says nothing about that. Well, I'm not talking about that instance, but if I must, I will.
we'll talk about. This is my personal take on it. You know, when we were younger, teenagers going through our 20s, it was fun times. You know, yeah, you had multiple boyfriends, multiple girlfriends, or you dated multiple people because that was a young, you know, refreshing time in your life. You're fresh out of high school, you're experiencing life. Life is just beginning. But when you get to our age, like you say, you're much older. You should be much wiser, and you should be more stable. And the way that you thought back then, you don't think like that now. I mean, back then you thought about partying, hanging out, you know, going to Jamaica Avenue and shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now,
hey, Dad, what you know about Jamaica Avenue?
Hey, Bree, we're going to be on the phone all night tonight, so I'll answer that question then. But
Listen. Hello. Oh my God.
But now, you know, you think about, okay, I'm older now. You know what I mean? You think about settling down, finding that special person, you know what I mean, that you connect with. Settle down. You know what I mean? Your kids are grown. It's your chance to travel. You know what I mean? Do some of the things that you want to do. You know, if I feel the need, I want to say, Bree, just stop working. I'm just going to take care of you. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Men been taking care of women. Since long.
Who you directed the question to?
Since way back, men have been taking care of women, and women have been taking care of men. But it seems like today, in a lot of cases, opposites do attract. And for the most part, a lot of times they work out.
Right.
You might feel more educated.
No, you are not dragging me down the bowels of degradation with the whole opposite.
No,
what I'm saying is this.
You would see a woman, and I'll take a page. I'll take a page out of your book, Bree. You'll take an intelligent woman who can mentally, you know, stimulate a man, and that's a good thing.
And thank you very much.
That's a good thing. And we'll talk about that later too, Bree. But that's a good thing. But most men don't look at that. They look at the physical. Most women do the same thing. You see a man that's skinny walking down the street, you see a man with big muscle, the first thing the women say, oh, look at that man with the big muscle. They don't even see the small guy. He could be the best person in the world for them. But they looking at the guy with the big muscle, oh, look at that. He could be the worst guy in the world.
Yep.
But isn't that what makes the world go round? Different taste, you know what I mean? Different need.
Listen, you know what? That sound nice, okay? But here's my freestyle on that. Men are visual more so than women. So
I don't think
trust
so.
Me, trust and believe, if we ain't got our hair right, and our clothes right, and if we are not put together well, I mean, no matter how petite or curvaceous you are, if you're not working what you got right, you are not trying to holler at us. So don't even make it seem like, oh, it doesn't matter what the person looks like as long as they have a nice personality. Yeah. When you're walking down the street, you don't know if a person has a nice personality because they're not wearing their qualifications on their chest.
Mm. Yeah, but Bree,
can you listen to me?
Yeah.
What?
You're not listening to what the man said now.
I don't know what he said. It sounds like a bunch of fraternalness.
She's just trying to soften the blow for later on, that's all.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Well, listen.
You better stop.
You know, Brother Carl was talking about in our age group, you know what I'm saying? He said we're looking for something special, somebody to share more time with because we're older, we're more mature now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. People think that once you get older, you know, like we are, get married, you know, there's no romance. You know,
listen, I have no confidence in men in their 40s no more.
I believe in romance, Bree.
None.
Bree,
because
Bree.
Here's the thing. Wait,
Bree,
no, I'm
choose
talking.
Your, choose your words
listen,
carefully.
I'm talking. I'm putting
you,
it out.
You let me
here.
Finish my point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, we can't have that. I'm sorry.
You see
I
that?
I need to get back in line.
I'm trying to finish a point about romance at our ages because you have no faith in me. I'm saying, me and my wife got romance because I remember one night
how
we made love for
married?
One. What's that?
How long
what
have you been married? How long have you been married?
Legally married for 5 years, but we've known each other for almost 20 years.
Okay.
Wow, that's great.
Okay. So, the romance is here. One night, me and my wife made love for an hour and 2 minutes. Hour and two
oh,
minutes.
Geez.
Of course, that's the night they set the clock back.
Okay, whatever. Crazy. Anyway.
I still get credit for it. You know?
Oh, I hear Sony cracking up in the background. I hear her.
Stoney got a new Kindle Fire today. She don't care about nothing today. She got a Kindle Fire. That's all she care about.
Listen, I'm here to tell you that men drop the ball. They don't have the ability.
We said about my ball?
That they ain't consistent.
We said about my ball?
They dragging on the ground and they not consistent.
Hey, Bree.
Yes,
Bree.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, this ain't the church show, so, you know, just
Bree.
Cut it out. What?
Bree, don't forget, honey. I'm coming home to New York in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh.
Choose your words
listen.
Carefully.
What part are you from, Carl? What part are you from?
Huh?
What part of New York you from, Carl?
He's not
oh,
from
I'm not
New
from,
York.
I'm not from New York. Bree
oh,
in New
okay.
York. I'm
he's
in Maryland.
Maryland.
Oh, he's in Maryland. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
we from Brooklyn.
Here. Oh, Jesus Christ. Listen.
Yeah, we.
I am talking.
I thought you just said it wasn't a church show. Why are you praying, Bree?
Listen, I'm trying to. Listen, I have to maintain control, okay?
Okay.
All right, listen. So, as I was saying, and okay, I'm going to flip the script on the both of you because, you know, y'all was trying to gang up on me. I didn't particularly, you know, care about that. But here's what I say to this. Men are not consistent. They're not consistent. And the older they get, the less consistent they are.
And some women do, too.
Mm. Reset it.
Some women do, too.
Wow.
Some women think
no,
they know what they want
fickle,
until they get it. And then
they're fickle. They're fickle. And guess what? Especially men that are on these internet dating sites. That's right. I'm talking about it. This is my freestyle right now for all y'all listening. The internet dating site brothers, they stalkers. And all they do.
I ain't on it.
Well, listen, here's what they do. Because if the ratio with women to men are 20 to 1, just walking around. Can you imagine what the odds are when you're on an internet dating site? You
well, honey,
can't,
listen to this.
No matter what, I'm talking. Now, you cannot imagine what the ratio is when you are on an internet dating site and you have access to hundreds of thousands of single women and all age groups. And see, listen, it's different for a man dating a younger woman than it is for a woman dating a younger man.
Well,
they're called cougars, and you know,
and there's
you're
many
the
up
cool
out there
dude.
Too.
And you're the cool dude, okay?
Yeah.
Because you got
no, we the dirty old men. We the dirty old men.
You
know,
y'all
the cougars.
Well, you know, but you're not really considered that. You're not
yes,
really
we are.
Considered that.
Yes, we are.
Listen.
Oh, yeah.
So
women never
my point
women
is,
never,
my point
never
is,
let us forget
even,
that.
the brothers out there that are on the internet dating sites, they don't, they're not even consistent. They can't be consistent regularly, but they definitely not consistent being on them damn internet dating sites because they have too many women to choose from. They always hitting up a woman, and then, oh, don't fall for the okey-doke, ladies, when they say, I'm only paying attention to you. Because if they're only paying attention to you, why do they keep logging on to the internet dating site?
Why y'all keep playing for the line?
If you have a person's attention, they shouldn't have a reason to want to go on an internet dating site. I've heard guys give women all different types of excuses why they do that. One, my subscription hasn't expired yet. I'm just waiting for the month to run out before I close my profile. Listen, if you dig in somebody, you don't even have to close the profile. You could put it on, you could hide it and not even log on. I mean, there's so many options. Men are full of crap. That's right. Bree said it all day long. I ain't had a good day. I'm pissed off. I got a lot of stuff to be unplugged about. So, yeah, call in the 424-220-1862 if you like or you don't like what I'm saying.
Bree, you got to understand something. You got to understand something. You're right. There is, when these guys get on these sites, there are hundreds, thousands maybe of women to choose from. But look at it this way. It's a double-edged sword again because women have the same options. It's hundreds, maybe thousands of men that they have to choose from. But hold on. But you know what it comes down to? It comes down to what you're looking for and what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what it comes down to. I don't care how many women you look at on it, looking at women on internet dating site, just like looking at women on the street. You're gonna look at them.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna see. You're gonna try to get insight to their mindset, what they're about, who they are. There's nothing wrong with that. It's only wrong when you reach out or I need you or come on. We've heard the lines. We know how it goes. But it's all individuality. What you want. What you're looking for. That's what it comes down to.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, that sounds real fluffy. But I'm not. I ain't feeling it. I'm telling you. I have heard it's fluffy.
Yeah. I was trying to hang in there with the brother, but he kind of lost me there. Yeah, I was trying to hang in with the brother.
Well,
he's from the
South anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Oh, man. Boy, I can't wait to get to New York, I'll tell you.
Huh?
I can't wait to get to New York.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like I was saying,
I got a great question.
I'm sorry?
I got a great question.
Okay.
I got a great, because this is something that's a huge problem in the workplace, okay? Sexual harassment is a big problem, but it's too many gray areas. For instance, let me throw this out there at you.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Is it sexual harassment? Let me.
You started with the human resource manager, right? That's why you started with me, right?
Hey, listen. You know firsthand, right?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Sexual harassment in the workplace, right? Now,
yeah.
A guy walks by, smack you on your butt. But you attracted to that guy. But another guy walked by smacking the butt that you're not attracted to. Okay? Which one harassed you?
Both of them did.
But do you report both of them?
Both of them did because...
Give me the real answer.
Usually, give you the... Should I give you the EEOC answer or am I giving you the... The Brooklyn
nope.
answer. Which one?
No EEOC. We know what the books say. You know.
Oh, my God. Okay, which one harassed me?
Right.
Well, you see, you know, it's hard
the
for me
one.
To separate. It's hard for me to separate because because when we're talking about an area, especially one that I've worked in for many years and have had to deal with these situations, you know, I can't look at it any other way. What was done by both of those men were inappropriate.
Okay.
There's no
on the surface.
There's no gray. There's no grayness in that.
There is
no
grayness.
Place. No, no, not
there's
in the workplace
gray.
Though.
Great.
not me being the human resource manager. Ain't no grayness.
They would never make it to human resources. Not with the handsome guy. She's gonna report the ugly guy, but not the handsome guy.
Okay.
Well, Alex, you know what the deal is? You know what the deal is? In the workplace, sexual harassment has taken on a new identity all of its own. Sexual harassment used to be clearly defined as if you was working with someone of the opposite sex, sexual harassment was if you kept pressing that person to go out on a date, if you said something provocative constantly, or little touches, or, you know, even, you know what I mean, just something that was physical. That was sexual harassment, or just explicit things you said, that was sexual harassment. But now it's got
right.
blown out of the water. You can have a basic conversation with somebody, just a general conversation. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine on his job, he works for Northrop Grumman. He was buying a house out in the suburbs. So this woman who was after the same position that he was, he got the position. So they're working on a project one day. Somebody asked him, say, well, why are you giving up your townhouse? Because you have a beautiful townhouse in the city. Why are you giving that up to move in the country? He said, well, you know, I didn't know because my townhouse stood so high, I didn't know my neighbor in the back of me could see me coming to and from my bedroom to my bathroom. So apparently the woman could see him coming from his bathroom in the buff, going to his bedroom in the morning when he was taking a shower or the afternoon or whatever. So she made a comment to her neighbor's wife, you know what I mean, who told her husband about it. So he felt uncomfortable about it. She tried to use that as sexual harassment to try to bury him to get that position that she didn't get in the first place. He got.
See this mess? Like, see that mess?
She tried to turn
that
into sexual harassment. That was just a basic conversation. And she tried to say that he used something. He just said that the man wife made a comment, right, that he was blessed. She said that when he told the story, he used the word that the woman said that he was hung. Now, I know this guy for over 20 years. He never even said a word like that. The whole 20 years I know it, never even talked about himself. But she tried to make it more explicit. She tried to make it more explicit than what it was.
You see the abuse of it? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the abuse of it.
See,
you know
so
what
I tell people, I tell people that work for me, when you have a conversation, females all around or with a female, watch your terminology. Watch your terminology because somebody who don't have, for lack of a better word, you know what I mean, don't have it together upstairs or, you know what I mean, just fighting to get somewhere, they can turn it around on you. And it can be innocent as hell, but they can turn it around on
get
you and you'll find yourself going through hell.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. If they are within earshot of a dirty joke, you ain't even talking to them. But if they're within earshot of a dirty joke, they'll go to human resources and say they were harassed by that joke.
In my position, I'm an administrator. In my position, when I talk to females, whether it's that work for me or even out in the public sector, I choose my words carefully, and I always make sure I have somebody with me. So it's not going to come down, well, you know, we had this conversation, he said this and he said that. No, I have a witness standing right there that can affirm what I said and how I said it.
Mm.
And it's a shame that it has
to
come to that.
My pension.
Yeah, it's a shame that you have to come to that, but, I mean, you have to protect yourself these days.
Mm. That's right. That's right. So,
okay, what other exciting perspectives or questions do you have to stimulate the conversation?
I got another one.
Oh, boy.
Here's a doozy.
You asked.
Here's a doozy, okay? What is this about, and women use this most of the time, what is this thing about I love him, but I'm not in love with him anymore? What does that mean?
She loves what she still can get and what she can still acquire, but she's not in love with him to the fact when she feels though she's got all she can get or all she wants, she can just walk away.
Oh, that's what that's code for.
She ready to cheat. That's what that is.
No, now I don't now see now I think you taking it to a level that really doesn't need to be gotten to.
I'm asking you, what does it mean?
Well, I don't. Well, Carl seems to know what it means. I didn't know it was code for that. Here's my definition of loving somebody but no longer in love with them, because I've experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
When you fall out of love with someone that you care deeply about, that you committed yourself to, but you don't have that warm and fuzzy feeling for them anymore. Now,
what is
very possible.
What is warm and fuzzy with you tonight?
I had a bad day. I'm ready to be unplugged. I don't care. I'm saying what's on my mind tonight. No filter. Because I got a few things to say before we go off the air.
Okay? Oh, God.
No,
all right.
Yeah, oh, God. So, my point about the whole being in love versus love, you can fall out of love with a person. It happens. You know,
does
that give you license? Hold on now. When you're married, or when you're in a committed relationship, especially when you're cohabitating, does that give you license to go outside of your commitment? No, not at all. People use that as a reason, but here's the thing. When you're ready to go, go. Go all the way. Don't go to somebody and then be with another person. Here's a freestyle for you. Somebody told me tonight about someone that they know that contracted an STD. Now, this happens to be a man that knows another man that is in his 40s, contracted an STD from a woman, but he was sexually active with two women in the past. I don't know if it was this month or let's say in a 30-day period, and he don't know which one he got it from, and he can't be sure that he got it, and he can't be sure that he got it from either one of them because maybe he might have got it from somebody else a few weeks or a few months down the line. I was like, "Dad, go on."
Well, he can be sure of one thing. He can be sure of one thing. If he don't know where he got it, he can be sure of one thing, where he took it at. Because that brother moving like, yeah, if he didn't get it for one of them, you can best believe he gave it to both of them.
He is the definition of moving around.
Yeah. And it all been like, but Bree, for the most part, all men aren't like that. I mean, it's still some of us who have morals. It's some of us who, you know what I mean? Yeah, we played the game back in the day, but we're settled,
violence?
You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
Oh, here we go.
I'm not feeling it today. I am not feeling it today. I have to know. Today you are dealing with Bree that is not feeling men tonight. I have no tolerance, no patience. I ain't trying to hear nothing about no man tonight.
You ain't trying to hear nothing.
But Bree,
you got two men on the phone.
But Bree, I already touched on the goodness of a
and Carl's call.
I was ready to talk about the goodness of a woman.
We still men.
Well, okay, well, you can talk about the goodness of a woman if you want to, but I don't want to hear nothing about there's good brothers out here.
Let me tell you something. To each his own. But let me tell you this, and I will put myself out there. I will use myself as example. Mm-hmm. I like a woman that has a lot of intelligence. She has it together upstairs, because if she don't have it together upstairs, to me, she's just an empty shell. I'm not into the physical look, the physical body, because you know what? That's past tense. If she can't stimulate me with her mind, she's no good to me. I like somebody that's a thinker, can hold an intelligent conversation. You know what I mean? We could go out to dinner, have an intelligent conversation, or we can sit at the house, throw some nice jazz on, drink some wine, and just have a nice stimulated conversation. Everything else follows behind that. But in having conversation and communication it builds and nurtures the relationship. It pulls you closer because you'll find yourself on the same page more or less when issues come up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how each other is going to think, how each other is going to feel. So when issues come up, you'll find yourself more inclined to agree than disagree. If you can't stimulate me, if you cannot stimulate me with your mind, your body's no good to me because your body is just an added access to me. I want to know what's in your head. What you thinking?
Yeah, Carl,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, Carl. What good is the sex if we ain't got nothing to talk about afterwards?
Thank you.
That's how I feel.
The sex
isn't
be good because the sex ain't gonna be good
you
because
Carl?
You know what? Because you know what? Because you know what?
What?
The sex ain't gonna be good. The sex ain't gonna be good because you know what? You didn't have the stimulation before the sex.
Right.
I said, do y'all cuddle?
And Bree, you know I cuddle, so we ain't even going there. But
listen, you need to stop. No, don't even play. You need to stop.
The man said he's a cuddler. What's wrong with that?
No, that's not what he said, Alex.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna go to Annapolis and push him off the pier, and then I'm gonna go to Denver, Virginia Beach.
But I don't care how deep the water is, I can swim.
Okay, well,
I don't care
now.
How deep the water is, I can swim. But yeah, I'm just basically talking about myself. But that's what I like. I like a woman that can sit down. And she can stimulate your mind. I like a woman that's strong because you know what? If she can stimulate them, if she's intelligent, she's a strong woman because she has the total package. She has looks, and she has intelligence. And you don't find that in a lot of females these days because with a lot of females, it's all about, oh, I got a nice body, I'm good looking, I got nice hair, I need my nails done, my hair done in the mall. Well, what's for dinner?
What's for
dinner? I can't cook.
What's for
cook?
Dinner?
You know, let me tell you something. Listen, I just ain't feeling brothers tonight. I'm not. I can't see.
You had a real bad
listen
day.
To all the, yes, I had two consecutive back-to-back bad days, and I just don't want to hear no more rhetoric. I'm sick to death. Of the fragonacleness. I can't take it.
Well,
okay?
Well, Bree, you know what?
Well,
and there's
let me
a lot
this.
Of beautiful women. There's a lot of beautiful and smart women out there like you, Bree. And this is what I always keep in mind. There are a lot of beautiful, smart, intelligent sisters out there, and you
well,
don't let 1, 2, 3, 4,
call.
Or 5 ruin it for everybody else. Because you know
okay,
what?
Okay,
remember,
wait, hold on. If, you know, Carl, in all, with all due respect, this ain't about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One was enough, okay? But then one wasn't enough. I had to do 2 back-to-backs. So, okay, I worked on myself and I got over some stuff. But you know what? Being in the singlehood ain't easy in the new millennium under the new world order. Okay?
Right.
It's not easy, and I'm telling you, I think on my side, looking outwards to men, I have an advantage on my side, but a disadvantage for them that most people don't even realize, and that's because I have 2 older brothers that dragged me everywhere. That I used to also watch their antics with women, and how my brother had 3 girls in the hallway. I mean, throwing serious joints at each other, cutting blood over his ass. Excuse me.
Okay, hold on.
And because my brother is 12 years older than me, I used to sit and watch this stuff and watch how, you know, I mean, for the most part, he was a nice person, but he would find himself in these situations because he didn't communicate. he wasn't honest with people because he didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. And these beautiful women be crying and having nervous breakdown. I said, oh my God. And he's 12 years older than me, and I'm watching this, and I said, God, please don't ever let me have to go through this. And I think I had, thank God, I had the opportunity to watch them do women the way they used to. Plus, my father was always in my ear. Now, I'm not saying that everything that I observed and all the stuff that my mother and my father used to tell me about boys and men that I actually listened to. Because maybe, just maybe, if I would have listened to my parents, I wouldn't have married my husband. I wouldn't have been with that flagadackle. And then maybe, just maybe, if I listened to my mother, when my ex came out of my mother and my aunt, when my ex came out of the bedroom, they looked at him and looked at me and said, what in the world? Okay, I would have stayed in New York, and I would have went to Virginia. Okay, so you know, I didn't necessarily uh-huh. listen. But here's what I say that to say this: I'm exhausted. Okay, I'm exhausted. I don't want to have no more conversations. I don't want to talk about nothing. I'm tired because I'm sick of hearing about the issues. Because I got issues. I got some serious stuff on my side of the table that I don't even get a chance to talk about.
That's why I got good news for you.
Because
I got good news for you.
No, you don't have no good news for me.
Yes, I do too.
Unless you say you putting a contract on the table, and I'm moving to Virginia Beach, I'm not. You ain't got no damn good news for me.
I do got good news, and the good news is you don't have to be bothered with none of these jokers. All you got to do is stock up on batteries.
Oh shoot! Come on. No, no. No,
well,
I'm not down there.
I always say prayers to myself.
Yeah, prayer. I'm praying. I'm praying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you out.
No, thank you.
I'm doing
right.
you a favor.
Nah, that's
I mean, sometimes
all right.
Sometimes you just got to pray about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I know how to pray. I've been praying for 9 years.
Yeah, you can't.
I've been praying for nine years to have a different conversation. I just pray for those batteries. Listen, just a different conversation. That's all. You know, just for him to be different and consistent. Consistent.
That's hard.
You know, what I'm finding is that they consistent, but they full of crap.
No. That's hard because we always evolving. People, we always evolving. That's hard to be consistent the way you're talking about.
Why is it hard to be consistent? You know, everybody acts like I'm a friggin' alien. What is so wrong with living up to basic expectations? I'm looking for Elva J. Fudd. I'm not looking for a brother with a mansion and a yacht. And a $200,000 car and dough. I just, you know, just an everyday hardworking man, you know.
Bree, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on the train.
Oh, please.
I'm going to get in 2 weeks. I'm going to get on the train. I'm coming to New York.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? I'm going to call you up.
Call us up, man.
You're going to go out to dinner, and you know what? Everything that's on your heart, I'm going to sit there, and I'm not even going to talk. I'm just going to sit there and listen, let you get everything off your heart.
She's going to order a big old bill, too.
Check this out, but this is the only time that I'm going to be unplugged like this because, you know, I'm not gonna blame it on hormones or anything. I'm just gonna say I'm not happy today. I wasn't happy yesterday. And since it's Freestyle Thursdays, I figured I'd vent. You know,
right.
I know people are not used to hearing me completely unplugged. You know, they're used to hearing me move the crowd, maybe have to babysit, or but they're not used to, you know, hearing me just, like, let it all out. So today I kind of don't really have a choice because my cup runneth over today. It really
does. I'm gonna come there. We'll hang out, and like I said, we can talk. I mean, we can talk for hours. I'm gonna give you that chance since you said nobody listens, or you have nobody.
I didn't say I have nobody to listen to me, and I didn't say I have anybody to talk to. That is not the issue. That's not the issue.
That ain't the issue.
I said the issue is the people that I have been talking to.
Stop talking to them.
I'm tired.
Well,
I got nothing left. I am on E.
On that note, I got to get ready to get out of here. So, Alex, my man, take it easy, neighbor.
All right, Carl, stay up, brother. I'll talk
breathe,
to you again.
Breathe. All right, brother,
yes,
and breathe. Stay sweet, okay?
And you do the same. And I'll be talking to you soon, Carl, and thank you for calling in to Freestyle Thursday. It was a
and
nice
I hope you
surprise.
Have a good day tomorrow.
You be what?
All right. I said, I hope you have a good day tomorrow.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Stay
good
sweet.
Good night, darling.
Good night, buddy. Peace.
And everyone,
right.
That was Carl from Annapolis, Maryland. So, Alex.
Yep. Really, last
Alex.
Night was a deep, deep discussion.
I know.
It was deep. You see what I'm saying? I don't think you recovered from that. But you got to get back up because we got to do it again next week.
Oh, my goodness. No. I'm not feeling away because of last night. Last night was great.
Right.
You know, Dr. Hackley had made some very, very good points. The guests, callers, they, you know, asked some good questions and had had good exchange and feedback with Dr. Hackley. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm feeling today has got nothing to do with yesterday. This is just I don't know.
What song would probably be what you're feeling? Can you think of a title of a song that would probably break down what you're feeling right now? Is
you
it
know
memories?
What? I could actually play something. So for all of
okay.
this. Here you go.
Yo, what up? This Wyclef with Mary J.
Oh, Lord.
The guitar.
Oh, no.
Fellas having problems with the chicks. I want you right now to turn the lights down low. Pull your girl up next to you. I want you to sing.
If Steph comes to me tonight, girl, I want you to know that I loved you. And no matter how
I think Wyclef is constipated.
Someone please call 911.
Yeah, but that's not what he said. See,
listen,
he was constipated.
I'm saying it.
Oh, so you need 911.
Oh,
and he need Preparation H. No, that's what
everyone. Oh, cut it out.
He that boy said, someone needs to call 911.
Oh, my gosh.
He must have sung his part on the toilet.
Stop it.
That's what I think he was doing. Oh my goodness! So that's the song, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was feeling this moment. Just so
okay.
Please call 911. Okay.
911. Okay.
999.
Wow. Well, how are you going to get out of this, Free? How are you going to get out of this funk that you're in?
I am going to be okay tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I'm blessed and highly favored. But tonight I ain't all right.
Okay.
Tonight I think it's, you know, for how much of a time we have left, I'm going to use it wisely and I'm going to vent. So, my next freestyle, I guess, is one of the things that has put me in this funk. And that is that I have been faced with having to let not one, not two, but three people go out of my life in the last 24 hours.
Three. That's a lot in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a little disheartening. It's catching me. It's catching me emotionally off guard. I wasn't.
Wow.
I wasn't really expecting this, but.
Well, this is good. This is good for the audience. It really is.
I'll tell you about one of the instances real quick, because it's a
mm-hmm.
quick instance. Actually, it's someone who I've known maybe about 5 or 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and he was a friend of mine on Facebook. So,
mm-hmm.
as you know, by me doing the show, not only do I, you know, send broadcasts out to everyone on Facebook, but I also send people text messages who I have their cell phone numbers.
Right.
So I sent him a text message yesterday, and he texted me back. He cussed me out in the text message. And I was like,
In the text message.
See, he didn't have enough balls to call me like the man that he think he is and get on the phone with me and tell me he don't like the fact that I'm sending him text messages to broadcast or, you know, to let him know that I'm coming on the air. Only thing he had to do was call me and say, Bree, you know, I prefer it if you didn't send me a text message about your show. I would respect
mm-hmm.
that. But
mm-hmm.
you're going to be like, what the F and blah, 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 and every week and da, 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 da. I'm like, wow? Really?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Really? I'm like, okay, brah, no problem. So, okay, I said it that I wasn't going to do it in 2012. But I've been for. I've been forced to do something that I said I wasn't going to do anymore. And I'm quite upset about it. So, yeah, he's one of the people that I kind of had to let go. Very, very disappointing because, I mean, I thought the brother was cool. And
mm-hmm.
that we were cool, but no.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, getting cussed out in the text message, I like to read that.
Well, I mean,
it
read sort of just the way I said it read. You know.
Okay.
What the f?
Right.
Why are you sending me every week? Da 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 da. I'm like, okay. And see, because I know this guy talks fast, if he actually was saying what he texted me,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it kind of would have been a little, you know, too much to, you know, for the average person. But, you know, me being me, I could handle it. I would have
mm-hmm.
preferred for him to call me. But as a result
right.
of that, guess what? Alice?
What? Yeah, I'm here.
Basically, This is how I feel.
What was that?
You didn't hear it?
No, what was that?
Let me play it for you again. And you should
okay.
remember. Because you were kind of instrumental in giving me this name. So.
Oh, boy. Why am I thinking of Daffy Duck right now?
Hassan Chop. So he gets a Hassan Chop. Okay? I promise my friend Squeaky, who I know is out there in the airwaves listening to me, I promised
mm-hmm.
her in 2012 I wasn't going to give anyone the chop. But that definite Squeak, you know I love you, girl, but that warranted the Hassan Chop.
And why Squeak never called in?
Oh, she called in. She called in, like, you know, the beginning of the... But she, you know, she has a son, and, you know, she's...
Oh, okay.
IT and, you know. But
okay.
she's always... She supports the show. She sent me a Facebook message. I know she listens when she can, and, you know, she supports me, and she loves me.
Wow.
And I love
okay.
her, too. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's one... That's one Hassan Chop.
That's one Hassan Chop, okay?
Yeah.
Are you gonna give me the other roundabout ones or no?
Well, I can. Do you want me to share them with you?
Hey, look, you're venting, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I
I'm
guess
mistaken.
I got about 18 more minutes to do so.
Yeah. This is just me and you privately and probably 100 other people out there listening.
Yeah, right. So, you know, sometimes it's been said that people come to be with you either for a reason or a season.
Mm-hmm.
And it has become abundantly clear that there's a person who, unfortunately, has proven himself to be seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because he didn't know how to play with the other kids in the sandbox well. And
he didn't play well with others.
He didn't play well with others, and he also couldn't see past himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the bigger problem is, for me, that he saw our business arrangement bigger than what I thought was most important, which was
mm-hmm.
our friendship. I'm more injured by the fact that we're not going to be friends anymore
mm-hmm.
than I am with the fact that we are no longer going to be business associates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really rather hurt.
Well, let me ask you this.
And my freestyle is about respect.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a friend, and Alex, I don't have many friends as long as you and I have been friends. We have been friends this year. We have been friends officially
mm-hmm.
41 years. We've known one another that long.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a long time.
That's a long time when you've only spent 44, 45 years on the Earth's surface, you know.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Next to you, there's only two other people that I consider lifelong friends, such as yourself, and that's Alicia Smith, that we both grew up with.
Right.
And another one of my friends, Daniel Ivy, who I said is going to be my friend, and he's my brother from the cradle to the grave, because I have pictures of us actually in the playpen, because our mothers were friends. And
mm-hmm.
then we grew up and went to elementary and junior high school together. So I
right.
take my, but and even though I'm speaking of friendships that I've had my whole life, but I take all of my friendships very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And all I ask is for basic respect. And if I tell you that something you have done and have done it more than one time makes me feel uncomfortable, all I want you to do is acknowledge it. And I don't want you to change who you are, but I want you to make an adjustment so that we can continue to keep our friendship. Because if it was in reverse, I would do the same. And this person could not do that.
Well, let me interject, okay? You said you had issue with three people in the last 24 hours.
In the last 24 hours.
That you had to cut off and you're disturbed because you're not going to be friends anymore, okay?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to tell me, or are you going to tell the audience that you're expunging yourself from any kind of accountability or responsibility in these three incidences? Because
well,
I know it's
in the,
easy.
I know it's
easy for people to look at the other person and say,
uh-huh,
it's their fault, blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Do you hold any accountability in these instances? That's the question.
Yes, I do. I hold accountability for the choice that I made to remove myself from uncomfortable interactions because I don't want to act outside of myself. And I also don't want to be walking around with resentment for the individuals. Now, the first person, he's just plain, you know, ignorant. And I know that, and I've known that. That's why he's been the kind of friend that I keep at bay. He's not somebody that I talk to regularly or hang out with. He's just a Facebook friend, somebody that I met several years ago, you know, through the whole becoming single thing again. But, you know, he's not an intimate friend. This person, the second person I'm talking about, I've known him for a shorter length of time, but I've become very attached to him in our friendship, not intimately, not emotionally, like, you know, in love, but I've grown to care about this person as a human being. And it injures me a great deal that he would choose to be stuck on a principle and not see the bigger picture of our friendship. Look at the business connection that we have, and say that his contribution to that is greater than his disrespect to me. And I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that when I'm complaining to him more than one time over a 3-month period about the same behavior that I've asked him just to adjust. I didn't ask him to stop being who he was, but to change who he was. I just said, please, for the sake of business, for the sake of our friendship, make an adjustment, please. Now, and in truth, because you know I could be very colorful in language, okay, but I'm going to tell you honestly, I said it in the inside voice, with the inside voice. I used the outside voice. I said it softly. I said it very loudly. I used muted colors, and I used some very bright colors to get the point and tried to tie the bind the each point, each end with points between, and nothing was getting through.
Well, let me play devil's advocate.
Oh God.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
How much of this? That I'm playing devil's advocate now.
Okay.
How much of this could you possibly say that this is maybe spoiled, bratish type behavior and you're upset that you didn't get your way? If somebody said that to you, how would you respond?
I don't understand. On his part or my part?
On your part. You said
no,
you requested certain things.
I'm not being a spoiled brat. I only asked for one thing, and it was basic respect.
No,
basic
you said you acted several ways. You know, you were
no,
powerful,
I said
you
I
were
acted. In, I used several different methods because one method didn't seem to be working. So I tried something different. Because you can't try the same thing and expect a different result. So I tried different ways to get through to this individual that what he was doing, not only was it affecting me, it affected other people. That was the feedback that I was getting. Plus the very same thing that I was getting that I was getting feedback about in his behavior, I experienced on a personal basis with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, please, just, you know, please, because sometimes it could be overwhelming. And he still wasn't hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It really hurts me that it hurts two things. It hurts my heart that he's not going to be a part of my life moving forward. But it
mm-hmm.
hurts me even more that he, on his side, did not see that our friendship was the bigger picture, was a bigger component of everything. And if for nothing, our friendship was more important to fight for than any business attachment we could have to one another.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me say this, Bree. We've been friends, like you said, 40-plus years at this juncture coming up, okay? That's a long time. But I will emphasize the fact that we've managed to be friends that long, not because I'm such a great person or you're such a great person, but we've had periods of hiatus where we didn't see each other 5-6 years at a time.
Right, and
okay.
The point is
that we had these hiatuses, so when we did see each other again, it's like, oh, man, Bree, oh, I love you, man, you still okay, oh, my God, you know, this and that. We were happy to see each other. We spend time together. We reminisce. We do these things, but we're not on each other all the time. We're not up under each other all the time, giving each other the opportunity to rub each other the wrong way for the most part.
Right, right, right.
You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, but
here's
what I say to that. I don't mean to cut you off, but here's what I say to that. In fairness to what you're saying, and I know the direction you're going in, yeah, me and this person, we're not up underneath one another because he lives at a distance, so we can't be up underneath one another. In response to what you said about the fact that the length of time that we've had in a hiatus, that
mm-hmm.
may be all well and true. But what did you tell me the last time? You said under no circumstances do I have the license to go out of your life again on big portions of time. Because even when that couple of months, the last time, you know, we got back in contact with one another and you didn't hear from me, when you finally heard from me, you almost lost your mind. You went off on me. You was like, I told you, you ain't supposed to be disappearing.
Because you did it. Because you did it.
Know,
you disappeared
I
on
know,
me.
I know. But see, now you can't get rid of me. Okay? All right? So I hope it's working out for you because I'm giving you what you asked for. All right? But my point is that if he came to me like the big man that I respected him as being and said, you know what, I think that it is more important that we agree to disagree than for us to not be in each other's presence at all because here's what I've come to understand too. Just because I looked at him a certain way, maybe he didn't look at me the same way. Maybe he didn't value our friendship as much as I valued our friendship. So I gotta take that. I got to live with that. But I got to tell you, I ain't happy. And this is one of the things that has thrown me into this little funk today. Because,
yeah.
Like I said, I value my friendships. I don't have many people in my life that I could say are a good, good friend. And
mm-hmm.
even though among the few good, good friends that I have, he's been in my life the shortest amount of time, but I got to tell you, there's nothing that I ever asked this brother for that if he could do it for me, he made himself available to help me. And that is not the reason why I'll be missing him. I'll be missing him because of the person that I valued him to be.
Right. Okay.
And I was willing to work something out, only at this point if he acknowledged that what he was doing, how it was affecting me. It was draining me. And when something becomes a drain to a person that you care about, you should pause and take a look at yourself. But even in his parting, I love him and I wish him the best. You know, even in his parting, I love him and I wish him the best.
Yeah, and well, you know, a lot of as far as we go back and all the friends that we had a lot of mutual friends and a lot of friends with your friends, a lot of friends with my friends that we didn't know. But I value my friendships today because a lot of those people whom we grew up with in Brooklyn, Crown Heights and so forth, you know, they're deceased now. And a lot of them, I so wish I could just have another day with them, you know.
Right.
You don't recognize the value, at least I didn't to a large degree, recognize the value because I always was like, okay, well, you know, next time I see him, I'll do this, that, or third. But you don't have the opportunity now, you know. So this is why I try to value to the fullest every friendship I have because we're checking out of here daily. You know, people are just checking out,
you know.
And you don't have an opportunity to repair anything once they check out of here, you know. All you can say is, oh, well, you know, hopefully they understand, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're still around in spirit and whatever your belief system is in the spiritual life. You can say that, okay?
Right.
But the way people are checking out, Bree, you know, I just try to value everything. That's why when you checked out on me the last time,
I was like, you see?
I'm like, you see, now we find each other again after all these years, and then you check out.
Okay. Listen, you're not the only person that said that. Alicia, if you're listening, okay, you see you're not by yourself, but I promise that I am not. And I, listen, it's on radio now. You can hold me to task to this. There will be no disappearing acts, okay?
Okay.
All right?
All right.
But in just wrapping up Freestyle Thursdays, I want to take the time to thank our brother Carl from Annapolis, Maryland, to call in. Thank God his person was spared when he was in that car accident, and he walked away with very minimal bumps and bruises, but he's with us, and he called in, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for my brother Alex on the line. As you all heard, we've been friends for 40-plus years, and I love him just like we share the same DNA. So, you know, that's real talk. But in closing, I just want to thank all the listeners for continuing to follow the show. You're most appreciated. I love receiving the text messages and the emails, the colorful emails that I get from you all. And you can continue to send those at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. Alex, I want you to have a wonderful weekend. Kiss my niece. Give Stoney a hug. And behave yourself.
I'll do that, Bree. Love you, girl.
Exhale and breathe light, everyone. Peace.
Yeah. 18 in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in.
Yes,
look.
Sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's high.
positive, uplifting and honest. Yeah. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, hope you ain't fragile. Through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of